منكم ربه شيئا من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة حتى يبدأ بالثناء على الله والمدحة له. That none of you should ever supplicate to God or ask Him for anything without first appreciating Him, thanking Him, and praising Him. These two are different things. We've talked about this in the past. Especially last year, if I recall correctly, when we did a short explanation of Dua Iftitah, we said there is a difference between madh and hamd. Yeah, and we gave the difference between them. And it's important that even when we do shukr of God, shukr is different than praising Allah in hamd. Shukr is a gratefulness, while hamd is a praise. And so we praise Him for His qualities and then do shukr to Him for those things that we are affected by based on His qualities. And so it's a separation of things. But again, what's expected is a mindfulness, right? An appreciation that we are drowning in God's bounties. Yeah, we are constantly exposed to Allah's mercy. And so we need to take a moment to appreciate them. And this is what the Imam teaches us. And one of the first things the Imam alayhi salam thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for in this dua is hidayah, guidance. Yeah, where the Imam alayhi salam says, وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي حَبَانَا بِدِينِهِ. That all praises to Allah who showed favor to us, who gifted us with His religion. وَاخْتَصَّنَا بِمِلَّتِهِ. And He specifically appointed us to be part of His creed. وَسَبَّلَنَا فِي سُبُلِ إِحْسَانِهِ. And He showed us the road from amongst the many roads towards His kindness. Man, we need God. Yeah, and this fact that we can gather here today under the umbrella and banner of Iman is one of the greatest gifts God has given us. Yeah, this religion is not a small thing. We need to appreciate it. That if it were not for this, this is why we always recite, right? Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihada. That all praises to Allah who guided us to this. Wa ma kunna lina. And if it weren't for His guidance, we would not have been guided to this. This is a fact. Right? This is a reality. And so it was Allah who showed us this way, Allah who blessed us, Allah who did something. Someone did something for us to be born in this path. And this goes back to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we must be in constant appreciation of this. And this is something that we should always be grateful for. And then the Imam continues, and as he said that there are roads that you guided us in this path, the Imam alayhi salam says that amongst these roads that allows us to get closer to You, O Allah, is the month of Ramadan. That the month of Ramadan in itself is a road that allows us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Imam alayhi salam says, وَالْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ الَّذِي جَعَلَ مِنْ تِلْكَ السُّبُلِ. That all praises to Allah who appointed from amongst these roads. The purpose of these roads is what? To get closer to God. And so from amongst these roads, he says that You appointed Shahrahu, His month, Your month. Shahra Ramadan. Shahra Siyam, the month of fasting. Wa Shahra al-Islam, the month of submission. Wa Shahra al-Tahur, the month of purity. Wa Shahra al-Tamhis, the month of tests. Wa Shahra al-Qiyam, and the month of standing in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an, a month in which You revealed the Holy Qur'an. What we understand, you know, is that this month, and we know this, but I want to emphasize this. This month is absolutely unique. I know we feel the uniqueness of this from the perspective of not being able to eat and drink. But beside that, we need to look past that. We need to look over that and realize that we are constantly surrounded, immersed in greatness in this month. Yeah, where every act in this month, you know, there are traditions, you know, we see in the Quran, Allah say, if you do one good act, I will reward you how many times? 10 times, yeah? In the month of Ramadan, He says, I will reward you 70 times. Same act, yeah? Do one thing, multiply it 70. Why? Just because He felt like it. No other reason. And now what's interesting, and this is where I'll leave you with this thought, you know, is that the month is not great because we have been asked to fast in it. I want us to understand this. And the Imam makes this very clear, right? But the month has been made great by God. And in order for us not to look at this month as any other month that it comes by, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then asks us to change our lifestyle in this month by not eating and drinking. Did you understand that? Yeah? This not eating and not drinking is not what makes Ramadan great. But it is only so that we realize this is not an ordinary month. Yeah? There's the difference in this month. And so fasting has been ordained because for us to recognize the difference in this month. The Imam alayhi salam says, yeah? He says, فَحَرَّمَ فِيهِ مَا أَحَلَّ فِي غَيْرِهِ إِعْظَامًا وَحَجَرَ فِيهِ الْمَطَاعِمَ وَالْمَشَارِبَ إِكْرَامًا. That you have forbidden and made unlawful in it the things that are otherwise lawful in any other time. Why? Just to magnify this month. Yeah, to make this month greater. Right? And so what we see is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purposely has ordained things in this month to make this month different. Yeah, things that are normally allowed for us, He has forbidden for us. Things that are part of our lives that He has made haram for us. All with the purpose of making this month look different for us. Therefore, it is our responsibility to ensure that we make this month different as well. You understand? If this month is the same as every other month, except that I don't eat and drink, then there's nothing special that I have done to honor this month. Yeah? But I must make this month different. Throughout the year, I always worry about food. What's my lunch going to be? What's my dinner going to be? In Ramadan, I worry what my iftar is going to be, what my suhoor is going to be. What's the difference? Yeah? What's the difference? Right? In other months, I hang out with my friends. In this month, we hang out in the banner of halal hanging out. What's the difference? Yeah? In this month, in other months, I play sports twice a week, three times a week. In Ramadan, we play sports all the time. What's the difference? Make this month different, my brothers and sisters. Make it unique in your own way. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but make it unique. Things that you don't normally do, because maybe you didn't have the energy, force yourself in this month. Yeah, if it's reciting extra Quran, if it's praying extra salawat, if it's reciting more du'as, something, make it unique. Make the focus entirely for God. And if we can make this one month, besides the food and drink, eating and drinking, unique, then we will have glorified this month the way this month deserves to be glorified. And when we say thank you to Allah for this month, it will have meaning behind that thanks, inshallah. That's our responsibility for this week. To be grateful to Allah, make this month unique, and inshallah in return, we will be chosen amongst the unique ones by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Dear listeners of The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be
you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Muslim Ladies. Like always, we're here to talk about women's issue. And once more, I have the honor to be your host. Well, this is Asma, and here with me, I have Sister Rehane. Well, actually, she's going to introduce herself pretty much perfectly for you. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome to Muslim Ladies.
Thank you very much, Sister Asma. I'm Rehane Paisapal, and I'm happy to be here with our dear listeners. I hope you have a wonderful day today.
Of course we would have. Since it's all ladies, then it's going to be wonderful. Well, just for the record, she is an Islamic researcher, and she works on ladies' issues and whatever that matters to us as ladies generally. So, previously on Muslim Lady, I remember the last point you mentioned was so eye-catching, actually, and I'm still thinking about it. Like, hijab is not just a material thing, like you wear hijab physically, and then you let go of the other parts of your soul to just wander the way they like. It's not just a true sort of thinking, I suppose. Even in our religion, when they talk about hijab, they actually mean the both aspect, the physical and the metaphysical, like the part that is related to your eyes, to your ears, to your mouth. Everything must be covered and have a hijab.
All the aspects of hijab, of course, it's not just for women, the hijab. And we have other aspects like hijab of, like having hijab for your eyes, meaning that you mustn't look lustfully at the opposite gender. So this, of course, not only applies to women, but also applies to men. So
and thank you for bringing that up. It's for men as well, because it's not just the appearance. It's about the way you think. I guess hijab is a lifestyle.
Yes, of course. Yes, obviously. So men must also refrain from leering at women, and women must avoid this as well. So looking at non-mahram men for women is okay to the extent that is just for having a conversation maybe in society. Like you cannot go about in society just and avoid looking at men whatsoever. But the thing is that it has to have a boundary.
Your attitudes, actually.
Yes, like, it's, you have to look with an innocence. Like, you mustn't look at someone lustfully. The moment you feel like you've started to feel things by looking at someone,
yeah,
you must lower your gaze immediately. So this is the hijab of your eyes. And it also applies to men, obviously, more,
exactly.
I think, than women.
Yeah, more
even.
And more.
And another part is hijab of your thoughts. So even you're not in the presence of another man, but maybe you start thinking about someone, you have to immediately stop yourself, distract yourself. And again, this applies to men as well, maybe even more so than women.
Yeah, the fact that this program is for Muslim ladies and we're addressing them does not mean that whatever we say is just for women. No, of course, Muslim men also have to actually follow these rules and think about them. At least, you know, I usually say that to know something and to do your best accordingly is one thing, and to know something and ignore it is another thing. So when I know something and I say, okay, I would try my best, even though sometimes I would fail, it's even, still it has got some values and worth in it. But for those people who know it and at the same time they ignore it or they say, I don't believe in it, that's a totally different story. So, yes, hijab is very much important, not just physically. We have hijab of the soul, of the gaze, of the way you think, of the things you hear and the things you say. And we're talking about that, actually. So let's go for a short break and then we'll be back. Thank you for staying with us. Welcome back, dear ladies. You're listening to Muslim Lady, and we're talking about hijab, and Sister Rehana is in here to help us, actually. So we were talking about hijab not being the lady issues. It is an issue for every single member of the society, because we're responsible toward each other, because it's not just that you cover up your beauties. It is also to cover up the doors that are open and not let the unwanted guests get into your brain and to your thinking and into your heart. You know, it's all about the stains. It's all about your heart not to get stained by a different sort of sicknesses and disgraceful colors of vice and things like that.
Another aspect of hijab that I wanted to touch upon is hijab of your manner. So the way that you behave in society and towards the opposite gender. First of all, I'm going to talk about, of course, the women's responsibility in this. Nowadays, we see in society, in media, that men and women can be friends, just friends. And can be nothing else underneath it. But that is the furthest thing from the truth. So
Since it was such a big lie, they're starting, like I'm seeing nowadays, there are some talk shows talking about the fact that people, like the ones who said it once, is starting to say, no, there is no such a thing to say that, okay, men and women can be friends. No, eventually one of them is going to get into the trap of more than friend.
Exactly. So it's men and women just cannot stay platonic friends. Even if it just starts out that way for a short while, it just cannot stay that way. Islam offers hijab of your behavior. So you have to behave in a way towards men where you don't unintentionally lead them on into thinking that you're maybe like even just friends, like even being friends is just will not have a good ending. The way that we behave towards men must be telling that I am not just being friendly with you because I like you. I'm just being normal. I'm just being polite because you're a person, you're a human being, and nothing more.
I'm just practicing humanity.
Exactly.
Manners.
Yes, you mustn't be friendlier than usual. Or maybe you're usually very friendly towards everyone. And you might find that you have to tone it down when you're interacting with another man.
Exactly. Because now that's very important. Because you see among even your friends and your classmates, sometimes you see that some people naturally are that warm and so sociable. But then when it comes to men, they do not know that the way they're behaving is actually telling other people more stuff than just being friend. Men would get some other stuff from the way they're treating them.
Yes, they assume that you're interested in them.
Exactly.
Men just think differently than women, generally.
So I usually say that to have borders in the way you treat other people, be it a man or a woman, that's a better way for you yourself. You know, it would save you all the problems that might come into you. It would help you yourself. So even if you are so friendly when you come into a new environment, when you meet new people, try not to give them these sort of green lights you don't wish to give. Because, you know, people have got different connotations from different stuff that you do. Maybe you do not have in mind to convey it in that way. Maybe you do not wish whatever you do or say, or even the choice of words. I sometimes notice the bare fact that maybe you have a special choice of word for your own self, and you do not mean anything extra, but unfortunately, some people would take it the other way. So you should be very careful. Actually, being an active member of society is not an easy thing. You have to watch every single thing you do.
Yeah, so the way that you talk, like the way that you use some words, like maybe you are naturally a joking person.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful of that when you're interacting with people of the opposite gender. That,
keep it for your friends.
Yes. The way that you laugh, like you might not even know it, but it might be alluring to the opposite gender.
Exactly.
And you just start laughing and
you know nothing about it, actually. You have no intentions, but unfortunately, as if history is any indication, if the other relationship of other people in this world have been any indication to you, then they do have an effect on other people, especially the other gender. So let's go for that break, and then we'll come back with No Heartbreak.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So, welcome back. This is the last part of today's episode. Still, I have to thank you for staying with us. I hope it has been fruitful for all of us. I mean, like Muslim ladies, we have to think about different stuff. And maybe whatever Sister Rehana mentioned in here are the stuff that I have long taken for granted, and I have to think about them again and again. So these stuff are being added in here in order for us to rethink about them, to have a check upon those stuff, those points, and see how thoughtful and considered I am of some very little and delicate issues that I might not think as important.
Yeah, so up until now, we talked about different aspects of hijab. We talked about the fact that hijab is a necessity in society, and if you have chosen Islam as your religion, then Islam is something that you have accepted already. And it's just somehow a battle within yourself to try to observe the hijab more and more every day, like try to be better at observing it. So if you've accepted Islam, then that means you've accepted the hijab.
As a Muslim lady, I accepted Islam. Now I'm called a Muslim lady. I have to go for the details.
Exactly. And another point that we talked about is that hijab is, contrary to some belief, it's not just about the physical appearance. It's not just covering yourself, your body, your hair. It is also about your thoughts, observing your thoughts, manners, and the way you speak and the way you look at other people. And another thing that we talked about is that hijab is not just for Muslim ladies, even though usually that is what people talk about when it comes to hijab. Hijab is also for men, even in regards to their physical appearance.
Exactly.
Yes, but especially and more so when it comes to their gaze and their thoughts and maybe their manners as well.
And also we have it in the narration that your gaze is an arrow from the devil.
And finally, we talked about the fact that when it comes to hijab in your behavior, some people might not realize that they're not being very modest in their behavior. They're being friendly towards other men as they would to other women. So the best thing, the best way to observe the hijab in that way is to avoid friendships with men altogether.
maybe the things that you are doing or saying are not meant to be taken the other way as men usually take it. But have it in mind and do not call these things old-fashioned sort of thinking, because trust me, they still exist, and still all of these matters that we're concerned with are the old and archaic stuff that have been there since Adam and Eve. So do not take these things for granted, and just think about them and see and evaluate your behavior the way you are actually claiming to be a modest obedient. Try to just look at it again and again and see if it's really the way it must be or no. You have to rehash your old stories and watch your actions again and again. So, Muslim ladies, this was all for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Ayahs and 30 days. In the name of God, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful, Salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors. Every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavenly duty. So, the ulama, that is the Muslim scholars, took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. In the second episode of Ramadan special series, we are going to explain Ayah 172 of Surah Baqarah of the Noble Quran. This Ayah speaks about eating pure bounties and thankfulness towards Allah, the creator of all bounties. Stay tuned, please. Ramadan is an endless bounty which we are obligated to thank God for it. To be thankful of Allah for this great bounty, we should get proper recognition of it. It has been narrated from the Prophet that should the faithful know the merit and greatness of the blessed month of Ramadan, they would wish the whole year were Ramadan. Prophet Muhammad also said that Ramadan is the month in which we are invited to Allah's banquet. Let us think over this statement. Aren't we using Allah's bounties every moment? Aren't we Allah's guest throughout our life? Is it not Allah who has created the entire universe? So, the blessed month of Ramadan should be a very special period, and God has invited us to a very special banquet. According to the Prophet, we are the guests of Allah, but it is quite clear that not everybody deserves to enter the banquet to be Allah's guest. He who steps in this divine banquet tries to provide the grounds for gaining the divine bounties and gifts. Therefore, this great bounty has to be thanked greatly. The Messenger of Mercy, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says, "Had you known what is there for you in the month of Ramadan, you would have increased thanksgiving to Allah." The Noble Quran has recommended the faithful in many ayahs to benefit from the divine bounties while emphasizing on thanksgiving to Allah. Real thanksgiving is to be a submissive servant for God. As it was said today, we are going to touch upon Ayah 172 of Surah Baqarah, which reads, "O you who have faith, eat of the good things we have provided you, and thank Allah if it is Him that you worship." Human beings should be in remembrance of God from the moment that he wakes up till night and thank God for the bounties he benefits on that day. Imam Ali, peace upon him, says in Sermon 193 of Nahjul Balagha, while describing a God-weary person, he starts his night with thanksgiving and his morning with remembrance of Allah. God has mentioned the properties of the faithful in many parts of the Quran. Forgetting of these properties will deal a fatal blow to the faithful and their society. Ingratitude and neglecting of bounties are what Satan suggests and tempts. When God expelled Satan from paradise, he saw that he would sit on the way of humans till the day of judgment and would tempt them for their front, behind, right, and left. But Allah told him that he would be given respite till a specific time, which according to some exegetes of the Noble Quran, is the day of uprising of the Savior of mankind, Imam Mahdi. May God hasten his reappearance. Now, the point to note here is that Satan swore to Allah that Allah would not fund most of human beings' thankful. Ayahs 5 and 6 of Surah Ibrahim of the Noble Quran also read, "Uncertainly we sent Moses with our signs. Bring your people out from darkness into light and remind them of Allah's days. There are indeed signs in that for every patient and grateful." And when Moses said to his people, "Remember Allah's blessing upon you when he delivered you from Pharaoh's clan, who inflicted a terrible torment on you and slaughtered your sons and spared your women, and in that there was a great test from your Lord." It is noteworthy that it is only the insightful people who taste the sweetness of thanksgiving. There are those who have not caused their soul and mind to sleep. Some people enjoy bounties, but they are not satisfied and happy. As it is often said, they see only the empty half of the glass. They have a negative look at the world and events. Most of us are heedful of health only in the time of disease. When there is drought, we complain and are concerned. If we are told that we are healthy, we say, "So what? It is natural." When we have ample rainfall and snowfall in winter, we say, "So what? It is natural." Winter is the season of rain and snow. The point is to be thankful all the time. Instead of saying that it is natural, we should say, "Thank Allah." One way for thanksgiving is to enlist our bounties. Enlisting and mentioning of bounties will give us a good feeling and help us pass behind crises in life. God says in Ayah 26 of Surah Anfal, "And remember when you were few, abased in the land, and feared lest the people should despoil you, and he gave you refuge, and strengthened you with his help, and provided you with all the good things, so that you may give thanks." God also says in part of Ayah 7 of Surah Ibrahim, "If you are grateful, I will surely enhance you." This is a divine promise, and Allah will never break his promise. We Iranians have felt this promise several times. 40 years ago, we were involved with Iraq, which was supported by at least 45 countries, led by the US. In those days, we were not able to make even a hand grenade. This, while today, the Islamic Republic of Iran is the 9th country which is able to make satellite and launcher. In the present Iranian year, we have sent 3 satellites to the orbit with a satellite carrier indigenously manufactured by Iranian scientists and experts. One of the senior managers in the field says, "Iran was the 43rd country among the club of satellite owners. We started our activities with India, but with the meddling of the Zionist regime, the cooperation failed and India left. Then we cooperated with Russia. It was a cooperation full of humility. At this time, when we wished to only see a satellite closely, Russians showed the satellite model from a distance of a few meters, fearing that we might find out the fabric and the structure of their satellite. If we asked Russians as when we would be able to make satellites, we would hear the answer, 'You won't be able to make it within the next 35 years. And even if you make it, you will not be able to launch it yourselves. And we will not launch it for you under any circumstances.' Yet we did it. We ourselves both made the satellite and launched it. I remember that after launching, the first ones to call and congratulate were the Russians, while their tone had changed with us and there was no trace of humiliation." Dear listeners, space know-how was not the only arena in which we Iranians saw the materialization of Allah's promise. Before the Islamic Revolution, Iran had no position among the highly cited articles in the world and was not even among the 50 nations in knowledge production. Today, however, the Islamic Republic of Iran ranks 15th in knowledge production. As for security too, Iran is the most secure country in West Asia and one of the most secure ones in the world. As in the field of production missiles, drones and various types of weapons and ammunitions, also Iran is considered an advanced country. The last but not the least, the Islamic Republic is a pioneer in the region and an important country in the fields of nanotechnology, medicine, biotechnology, nuclear sciences, renewable energies, stem cells, and so on. These have all been achieved through thanksgiving to God, the source of all bounties and blessings.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers, sisters, listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program Keys of Life, Mafatihul Hayat. One of the keys of life that we have been talking about is being nice and being kind and being gentle and giving and showing financial support to our brothers and faith. Among the things that we have to do towards the brothers and sisters in faith is to give them a gift and accept their gifts. And mind you, giving gifts to people, it is universal. Every human being on earth does it. They either do it to their family members, they do it to their friends, to people in general. And we do that to make them happy, isn't it? One of the reasons that we give gifts to each other is just to make people happy. And when people give you a gift, it also makes you happy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he did not neglect that aspect of when it comes to the believing men and women. He says, tahaddu tahabbu. When you start giving gifts to each other, and he says, give gift to each other, for you will love one another. So the act of gift, it brings you closer to that person that you give a gift to. And then he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, فَإِنَّهَا تُذْهِبُ بِالضَّغَاءٍ. When you give a gift to a person, sometimes you might have something against that person in your heart. A bit of hatred, a bit of jealousy, a bit of envy, a bit of this and a bit of that. And, you know, sometimes we're human beings, we have this. And then this person, he comes and gives you a gift. And then what seems to happen is like, oh, he's not what I thought, she's not what I thought, and then your mind changes about them. So this eliminates all the hatred that we have towards another, one another. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam says, tahaddu tahabbu, give gifts to one another, you'll fall in love with one another. And it will push away all the, you know, the rust that you have in your heart concerning your brothers. He also said, in terms of giving gifts to one another, he says, "Al-hadiyatu turuthul mawadda." When you give a gift, what you get back as inheritance from giving a gift is that love of the other person will be yours, and it enforces and strengthens the brotherhood bond. وَتُذْهِبُ الضَّغِينَ, and eliminates hatred from the heart. وَتَحَادُ تَحَابُ, give each other gifts, for you will love one another. So one of the means that we can enforce our relationships and make love amongst each other and one another, and, you know, leave hate aside, is to give gifts to one another. You might be asking, well, does there have to be an occasion? Sometimes there are occasions where we give gifts to each other. Sometimes, no, you don't need an occasion to give gifts. Among these occasions, a person who was very well off himself came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, Nabi ibn Rasulullah, I have a big land and I'm very well off in terms of financials. But then there are ceremonies, as he calls it, mahrajan, and, like, you know, festivals, and people have certain aids. They come to me and they give me gifts. Should I accept it from them? The Imam said to him, first, are they Muslims? Do they pray? The Imam said to him, أَلَيْسَهُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ, aren't they among those who pray? He said, yes. Then the Imam says, فَقْبَلْ هَدِيَّتُهُمْ, then accept their gift. Since he's a Muslim, accept their gift. So when it comes to gifts, we should accept and also give. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatihul Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree. Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam, who has stressed out the reward for praying, has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Keys of Life, Mafatihul Hayat. So we have mentioned number of things that we can do for our brothers and sisters in terms of financial help, whether in form of food, in form of clothes, in form of having a roof over their heads, in form of getting them married, in form of a service of some sort. Also, one of the most important ways we can help a brother and a sister in faith, and this is something that we deal with mainly now, is when it comes to debt. When it comes to debt, a lot of our brothers and sisters are actually in debt. Sometimes even close family members who are in debt. And we know they are in debt. They're in debt to this and this because they had to buy this from them, they had to get this from them, and they have to get certain needs, and they put themselves in debt. And sometimes we don't care if they are in debt. Well, that's not my problem. You know, let him pay it. Why should I pay it for him? Islam says you need to relieve that person of this burden, because debt, according to Amir al-Mu'mineen, is one of the burdens of life. He says, لا همك هم الدين. There is no stress, there is no pressure, there is no worry as much as the worry of debt. And we all know this. So we need to help them relieve themselves from this burden that they have, which is to pay off their debts. I can give a loan to a person. I have extra surplus money in my account that I can help a Muslim who is in need of it. And I know he's in need of it, and I don't. And that person himself, obviously he has enough self-dignity not to go and ask for money. And he says, please lend me money. It is my duty to come to him and say to him, listen, I have extra money, you can have it, you know, do whatever you need to do. And inshallah, when Allah changes your circumstances and you can pay it back, you can also give it back to me. And this way, you're happy, I'm happy. That's a beautiful thing to do. And for that, we have a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, there is not a single Muslim gave a loan to another Muslim. But not just any loan, because sometimes we give loans and we make people write like 1,000 documents and we make them sign and we make witnesses. This is required in terms of doing contracts. But helping people, that's a different thing. He says he gives him a loan, yuridu bihi wajhullah, that I give someone else, a Muslim, a loan. And my intention is Allah and Allah only. Allah will say, okay, the money that was taken from you, it will be counted as sadaqah, as you paying sadaqah, until it is given back to you. So sometimes you give sadaqah, it goes, that's it, it finishes. You give it, people take it. But sometimes he says, you give a loan to a person, but it's your money, it will come back to you. But for that time being, while it is in the hands of another Muslim, it is considered as sadaqah, which means you are constantly on a daily basis getting profit and interest in return from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then there's an emphasis when it comes to dealing with people and also giving them. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast, to the field of dreams, hear the children scream.
That was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
An-Naqi means the pure, the immaculate, the clean. Al-Hadi means the guide. All the Imams came for guidance.
As-salamu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa wa mawda'a al-risala wa mukhtalaf al-malaka.
Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety.
This is Dialogue, an introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Dialogue. I'm your host Mahdi. Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam was a pure source of wisdom and knowledge. Despite his young age, he showed what divinely gifted knowledge really looks like. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was the direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was also the 10th divinely appointed Imam, and he was the 10th divinely appointed successor of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was also the son of the 9th divinely appointed Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. After Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam answered with the answers of an expert the most difficult of questions posed to him by the Shia scholars and jurisprudents, the Shia leaders at that time had more faith and certainty now of what they had previously believed, that a divinely appointed Imam must have the most knowledge, and he must be the most knowledgeable one of his time, regardless of whether he is young or old. And so the knowledge, virtue, and the delving into the sciences of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam astonished the minds and sparked meetings and gatherings in all parts of the Muslim world. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Jamiatul Kabira by Imam Hadi alayhi salam, along with its English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu ala a'immatil huda wa masabih at-tuja wa a'lam at-tuqa wa dawin nuha.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thoughts, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call in the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala mahal.
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's prophet, and the progeny of Allah's messenger. May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala al-a'immat ad-du'at.
Peace be upon the imams, the leaders, the guides, the chiefs, the authorities, the defenders, the protectors, the people of the reminder, the men in authority, the left ones by Allah, his select, his party, the case of his knowledge, his argument, his path, his light, his proof. Allah's mercy and blessings to be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we're talking about this dialogue of the 10th divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. His Eminence is talking about absolute free will and compulsion. What's really interesting is that this discussion is so long because these are very intricate subjects. And if they're not dealt with appropriately and in the proper depth, with all the various variables, such as the divinely appointed imam has done, these are very confusing subjects, and there are subjects in which a person can be led astray. So we finally reached this point where compulsion has been spoken about, and the divinely appointed imam is talking about free will. Now, when talking about the repercussions of the concept of absolute free will, we find that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he brings up two repercussions or two end results of the idea of absolute free will. The first one being that the people have defeated Allah and they have forced Allah, willingly or unwillingly, to accept their choices. And so what happens here is that because an individual has complete free will, meaning they are able to do whatever they want, then Allah has become defeated. Allah cannot, punish an individual. Allah has no control, has no power over anything. And what this does is this shows that Allah is weak and Allah is not able to authorize and to implement his command and his authority. And in reality, this idea of complete free will, that Allah has no power and Allah is not able to control anything, or Allah is not in the position to be able to make something wajib, which is mandatory, or make something haram, which is prohibited. All of this